Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. As mentioned earlier in the service, our biblical text tonight is the gospel appointed for Thanksgiving, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. You've heard the gospel read. I'm not going to reread it now, but I certainly will be quoting it through the course of the sermon. It's on page 994 of the Pew Bible. By a show of hands, would you let me know if you can remember a full-service gas station? When I was growing up in Watertown, I worked at two of them, a Consolidated, which then became Speedway, and a Clark station. Not only did I put in the gas, but I washed the windows, I checked the air in the tires, I checked the oil to make sure it was at the right height. I wore a uniform that identified me as an employee of the company. I had this little pocket protector out of which protruded this tire gauge and all kinds of pens. And then there was that sensor hose. We called it a snake, and that familiar ding ding when the cars drove in over it. Now I looked out, and probably a third of you remember the full service gas station. So for you, it's just this pleasant memory. But for the others who are here tonight, it's just a revelation. They really put gas in my car? Do you remember when church was a full-time or full-service experience? We'd go to church to hear an inspiring sermon. We'd look forward to singing our favorite hymns and listening to the choir and listening as the pastor would offer up our prayers. We'd go home satisfied, full, and then we'd look forward to going back to church the following week and doing everything all over again. Somewhere along the way, something changed. And for me, it was a Sunday afternoon at a presentation I attended at Wisconsin Lutheran High School, where I learned all about outpost congregations. Now, if you remember, in the early days of our country, forts were built on the edge of the vast, uncivilized frontier. Those forts had two purposes. They were to be havens of safety for the settlers, but they also were to be stepping off places as the pioneers headed westward. In much the same way, you and I, as God's people, live on the edge of a vast secular society today. Church for us is certainly a safe haven, but it's also a place where we step off into this secular world to make a difference in the lives of others. It's appropriate then that we've transitioned from a serve us mentality to a service mindset. To a great degree today, church is a place where we come to learn how to serve. And we then serve others in the world by drawing them closer to Jesus. Listen to these words, inspired words of the Apostle James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? And so on this Thanksgiving Eve 2017, as we continue our series on generosity, we look carefully at what Jesus says in our text. And using his own words as our theme, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. And let's pray. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. As we've considered this topic of generosity this month, we've noted two things. First of all, God is a generous God, and in his generosity, God gives first. And then in that rich, plenteous generosity, God gives much. God doesn't skimp. God doesn't hold back. God gives you and me richly and generously everything we need for body and life, not because he has so much to give. Remember what the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, but because God loves us so much. The fact that you and I are so richly blessed, that we have everything we need for life, that we can go up and down Highway 100 from Janesville Road to the interstate for a whole year and never eat at the same restaurant twice, tells us that God has given us what we need in rich variety. Our being blessed by God is clear and unmistakable evidence of his love for us. Quoting again the Apostle James, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. But no matter how big the pile of blessings is, there is always one that outweighs them all. And that's the gift of our forgiveness, our reconciliation to God in Christ. And for us to really understand and appreciate how much forgiveness and reconciliation to God mean for us, we need to understand and appreciate why we need them so much. In other words, why forgiveness? Why a need to be reconciled to God? And to answer that fully, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of time, to the time when Adam and Eve lived in perfection in the Garden of Eden, some 6,000 years ago, when they foolishly and rebelliously turned their backs on God. And it didn't stop there. That sin was passed down for 6,000 years, and you and I today don't always like to hear what God tells us in his word. In fact, how often haven't we convinced ourselves not to listen to God because it might cramp our lifestyle or change our attitude or make our sanctified life difficult for us? All of this is sin, and all of this cuts us off from God. All of this makes us unqualified to enjoy any possible relationship with God. God has every right to look at you and me and damn us to hell. Cursed is everyone, damned is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law, God says. This is why we need forgiveness. This is why we need to be reconciled to God. Our sin has drawn a sharp line from heaven down between us and God, and there's nothing we can do to get through that or over that or under that. Someone divine had to face God's righteous anger over our sins. Someone divine had to live a life of perfection to God's holy law in our place. Someone divine had to suffer and die as our substitute to remove our sin and reconcile us to God. And that someone divine is none other than God's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Apostle Paul says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And through our faith, worked by God the Holy Spirit, we stand on Jesus' right in the heavenly sheep pen. Give thanks to the Lord. for he graciously gives you your forgiveness. And he gives you opportunities to give. In his letter to the Ephesians, as the Apostle Paul concludes his very important teaching on salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, this is what he says. We are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. As I was doing some outside reading for this sermon, I found these words. Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just for our salvation, but also for our service. We are part of God's plan to love and serve the people of the world and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Both of these statements, one of them divinely inspired and the other one not, are just different ways of saying that God graciously gives us opportunities to give, whether it's our time, our talents, or our treasure. Now, in our text tonight, Jesus draws a picture for us of Judgment Day. And before we even begin to talk about this, we need to understand that the judgment comes first. In other words, before the king, Jesus, begins to enumerate all the good things that the sheep have done and all the bad things or the lack of things that the goats have done, he has made the separation. He has divided the sheep from the goats. In no way is Jesus telling us that we can somehow do enough good works to get to heaven. That would contradict the rest of Scripture. For the Apostle Paul says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The separation has taken place. The believers, the sheep, are on Jesus' right hand. The unbelievers, the goats, are on his left hand. And now Jesus highlights all the things the sheep have done as evidence of their faith and love, and the lack of deeds of the goats because their lives lacked faith and love. You see, a proper understanding of Scripture leads us to recognize that we live under the umbrella of God's grace. In other words, not only was God gracious to us when he forgave us, but his grace permeates every facet of our lives. It's God's grace that caused us to be conceived in our mother's womb and born into this world. It's God's grace that provides everything we need for body and life. It's God's grace that gives us so much variety in life. And it's God's grace that gives us opportunities to give. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. We are created in Christ Jesus. That's our conversion to saving faith in Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is so eye-opening. It is so neat. I like to think of it this way. Even before I get up in the morning, God has already sprinkled my day with all kinds of opportunities for me to give. To give in gratitude to what he has done for me, to give in love for others. And I can choose to grab hold of this opportunity and say no to that opportunity. Now, as I've gotten older and reached my 35th wedding anniversary this past summer, I don't do this as much as I used to, but the example I share with my catechism class is that I get to hospitals quite often. And every time I go, for the most part, I'm walking past the gift shop. The gift shop has flowers. The gift shop has cards. And I have a wife who appreciates flowers, and she appreciates cards. God sprinkles my day with those opportunities to show my love for my wife by purchasing one or the other. and I can choose to grab it or not. The opportunities are there. God has graciously provided them. Give thanks to the Lord, for he graciously gives you opportunities to give. And in faith, you grab hold of as many opportunities as you can, and you give. That's what's happening with the sheep gathered at Jesus' right hand in our text. Jesus says to them, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." It's vital that we understand the significance of one little word in Jesus' reply, and that's the word, "I." I was hungry. I was thirsty, and so forth. Jesus is teaching us that everything we do out of gratitude to him and out of love for others is really done for him. Note also that the sheep, the believers, are clueless. They don't have a clue as to what they've done. They say to Jesus, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" We who have spent our lives walking in faith with the Lord Jesus on Judgment Day will be caught by surprise by all the things that we have done. There's an old saying that angels have wings because they take themselves so lightly. When Jesus lives in us, he also lives through us, and we become his conduits of love to the world. We become, in the words of Martin Luther, little Christs, and we just do naturally the things that God wants. We almost do them without thinking, without much commotion or ado. We don't look for a round of applause after we do them. We do them because we love Jesus. We gratefully grab hold of the opportunities that God graciously gives, and we give. Now I'm going to ask you to watch a video that we've prepared for you. I want you to see the urgent need in Puerto Rico following the devastation of Hurricane Maria back in September, and learn what you can do to make a difference in the lives of those whose very livelihood has been put in peril. Please watch.
I wanted to introduce to you one of our newer members here at St. Paul's. Her name is Diane Ludwig, and her family is from Puerto Rico. And when I heard about Hurricane Maria, I sought Diane out to ask how her family was.
So Hurricane Maria came on September the 20th. That was a very difficult time for me and my older sister who live here in Wisconsin. We were not able to get in contact with any of our family members until about October the 2nd. And at that time, all we got was "we're alive" conversation, and that was it. We didn't know anything else. How they were living, we found out afterwards through the news media that there was no electricity, no running water, and that they had had a lot of loss in our hometown. When we were finally able to communicate with my brother-in-law, Miguel, he was able to tell me that they had no food, they had no water, no electricity, and with that, they weren't able to live a daily normal life. So my sister, my older sister, Iris, and I decided to, of our own income, start sending boxes. And with that, we sent enough for him to be able to have at least food to eat on a daily basis, but also for the neighborhood.
So when Diane told me what had happened in her hometown, I just thought, Diana is a part of our family here at St. Paul's, and her extended family then is a part of our extended family, and this would give us a very personal opportunity to be involved, to help the people in Puerto Rico. I needed some help, organizational help, and so I thought of who could help with this organizational task, and I thought of Jay and Joan Oswald, and God had it already figured out beforehand, because it just so happens that Jay and Joan are planning on being in Puerto Rico the first part of January, and they were more than happy to help us organize how we as a congregation can respond to the need.
So shortly after, we met with Pastor Pete and Diane. It became very apparent that we needed to continue the response that Diane and her sister Iris had begun.
Yes, so we started sending one box a day. We filled it with canned meat, vegetables, baby wipes, aspirins, Band-Aids, batteries, whatever we could find at the store. And so we've been sending one box a day for the whole month of November. And we're also including this note, which tells the people that we're thinking of them, praying for them, and that the people from St. Paul's Muskego wish them success and are happy that we can be helpful to them.
We're going to send Diane down to Barranquitas to take a good look at what's going on and also to deliver additional supplies. This time we're going to arm her with perhaps Walmart cards or Costco cards so that she can react to the needs that she sees on the ground in Puerto Rico.
We don't know where this is going to lead. We're just trying to show the love of Christ to our extended family there in Puerto Rico. And whenever we show that love of Christ, we're always praying, Lord, use our generosity to somehow make clear to the people there that we're doing this because we love you, Lord, and we love the people that we're helping. So I just wanted to encourage you, anything that you place into the offering today, undesignated, what we call our plate offering, that's all going to go to help the people in Puerto Rico. And if you want, you can also text. It'll be up on the screen, and you can see the text number if you'd like to text a gift to Puerto Rico.
So on behalf of my family, my fellow friends, neighbors, people who I grew up with in Puerto Rico, I want to say thank you. Gracias would be the word in Spanish to say that you are a loving family of Christ that really, really live up to what the Lord says, to love each other. Thank you. I don't.
And if you need more information, there is more of that in tonight's worship folder. How true it is that God is good. God is good in that he graciously gives us our forgiveness, and God is good in that he graciously gives us so many opportunities to give. Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his goodness to us by gratefully giving of ourselves for the good of others. Amen. Please stand. With thankful hearts, let us affirm our faith in our Creator God, who graciously loves and cares for us. What does this mean?